This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma, and I've got Chapter 12 of Vatican Ambassador coming up. Feels good to say something else other than Chapter 11, Part 1, but you know what I mean. This is actually a very long chapter. I could have divided it up. It's about 32 minutes, a little over 32. So yeah, we could have done 16 and 16 kind of, but I don't know, it seems like almost a little too short. I like about a 20-minute segment or so. So yeah, we'll go with a long chapter this week, as the mysterious Dr. Capituna contacted BC. And she said she knows who infected the people who are getting sick on the moon and Earth. So our Vatican ambassador has to go visit with her, and find out what her deal is. And that's what he's going to be doing. We're going to join BC as he makes first contact in Chapter 12 of Vatican Ambassador, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. In book news, or actually, how about in website news? I noticed that alibijones.com and vaticanassassin.com were just going to like blank websites all of a sudden. Well, it turns out the host I use changed the interior software, or like the controlling software for the webpage stuff. And all of a sudden it wasn't, you know, doing the proper direction for my webpages. So I went in and fixed it. You know, if you go to alibijones.com or vaticanassassin.com now, those things are fixed. And if you've got a blank screen, just reload and it should actually send you to the right page now. So you can get alibijones.com and vaticanassassin.com back in working order. All of a sudden, I discovered it wasn't working. I was like, what? Got to keep on top of these things, you know? Living in a digital world. Oh, speaking of a digital world, I've got another special deal for podcast listeners on some digital material. I don't know what to call it. NFTs are so funny, you know. I was thinking of NFTs. It's like, well, what is that? Digital art? No, as it turned out, not much of anything really. But I wanna give you a digital PDF copy of the Vatican Assassin graphic novel. I've got a limited number of copies available through drivethroughcomics.com for a limited time. So that's a $5.99 value, $5.99 value. You can get Vatican Assassin, the graphic novel, for free. If you're a podcast listener, you get this discount by using the link to Drive-Thru Comics that you'll find in the show notes. So look for that link to get yourself a free copy, a PDF, digital PDF copy of Vatican Assassin, the graphic novel, a $5.99 value. Limited number for a limited time. Act before November 1st. I want to thank my patrons who help keep this whole thing going. They are the gasoline that drives this engine, or the rocket fuel that fuels this ship. Thank you for being a patron and for helping me do this. If you want to find out more about becoming a patron, or just, you know, what the deal is in general, just head to Patreon. That's with an E, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, and that's where I've got the whole thing set up, where you can do it for $2, $5, or $10 a month. support the podcast and get things like early episodes and such. You can also go to my homepage to find out more. GlowInTheDarkRadio.com and MikeLuoma.com. MikeLuoma.com. That's all I got for book news. We're going to get into the rather long but very interesting, I think, Chapter 12 of Vatican Ambassador, coming up next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
50 years ago, Mira, humankind's last hope to find new resources, departed the solar system. 7 years into her mission, she disappeared. She has returned. SNR Black, a Sol Federation Marine Corps vessel, is sent to retrieve her from certain destruction in the Kuiper Belt beyond Pluto. What they find will change humankind forever. From Parsec Award-winning author Paul E. Cooley, Derelict, Marines, Part 1 of the Derelict Saga, combines military sci-fi, space opera, mystery, and suspense to create a journey you won't forget. Podcast available at shadowpublications.com. Paperback and ebook available from amazon.com. Some mysteries shouldn't be solved.
Now here's Chapter 12 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio.
BC heads out from O'Grady's. He finds the place almost empty.
Fine by me.
BC grabs a table near the back, so he can sit against the wall, facing the door. He catches the notice of the bartender across the room, who nods and smiles at BC. BC nods back.
Guess he knows me. Or figures a priest is no threat. Haven't been here much lately.
BC gets up and heads to the bar to order a pint of Guinness.
Don't want to seem out of place. I'll drink a pint to blend in. Such a sacrifice.
A woman walks in while BC awaits his pint. She's about 5.5 feet tall, wearing a long, old-fashioned tan coat. Large, dark sunglasses cover her eyes and much of her features. The rest are obscured by a scarf wrapped around her head. Strands of blonde hair fall out to frame her face.
Muslim head covering? No, not quite. Is that her? The woman who called me? Looks darker in complexion than a natural blonde.
The woman looks around the bar. BC tries not to obviously watch her. He can see her reflection in the mirror in front of him, behind the bar. There's an older man sitting at the inside end of the bar alone, watching the news feed. A young couple snuggles in a booth across the room, two booths down from where BC first sat down, deeply into each other and ignoring their Caesar salads. Another man sits at a table alone, reading.
What's this?
The blonde approaches the bar, nearing BC. She tilts her glasses down. Her brown eyes peer out over the top of them at BC.
That's got to be her. Capituna? Huh. Something familiar about her. There was something about her voice, too. Too familiar. Felt like I should know her. She looks like she could be cute under there. Maybe it's just that feeling you get when you meet a beautiful woman. You wish you knew her before, so you think you might have known her.
It is her. She approaches with her hand extended towards BC.
Father Campion? She asks.
BC nods. He shakes her hand. Dr. Capituna, I presume. She nods.
Can we sit down? She asks.
Sure. Do you want anything? BC asks her. Soda water with lemon? She requests. BC calls over to the bartender and orders her drink. Club soda with lemon for the lady, please. You want a tab, Padre? The bartender asks BC. Sure, thank you, BC lets it trail, fishing for a name. It's Diamante, Padre. I go to your church. Well, sometimes.
Well, Diamande, it's nice to see you again.
Sure, Father. I'll be over with your ale and the lady's soda in no time, Diamande says.
BC leads the woman over to the table. She sits down across from him. She leaves on her scarf and her glasses. There's a moment of uncomfortable silence, mercifully broken by Diamande appearing with their drinks.
Thank you, she says, turning to Diamande.
Thank you, sir, BC says.
I swear, I know this woman from somewhere. So familiar somehow.
She sips the soda through the straw as she turns back to face BC. She puts down the glass.
I'm sorry, but I've lied to you, she says. Oh, great. She is a nutcase.
Great, BC says. You don't really have any information for me, do you? She looks surprised.
No, that's not it at all. I do have. That's not it. I mean that I lied when I told you we hadn't met before. We have. I knew it.
Have we? BC asks, quasi-innocently.
Yeah, she says, half-gulping. And not under the best of circumstances. I owe you a huge explanation and an apology, if you'll hear me out.
BC gets exasperated. Look, are you going to quit this mysterious... He stops, suddenly speechless. Dr. Capatuna has removed her scarf and glasses. And even as a blonde, BC recognizes her.
Nita Bendix! Nita fucking Bendix!
I should kill you right now, BC says in a harsh whisper. Tell me why I shouldn't. And be quick about it, very quick, because you're already dead. You know that, don't you? BC glares at her.
Hold on, Padre. Thou shalt not kill or something?
She smirks, but thinks better of it, and gets serious again.
And what about the witnesses?
Don't care. If I hadn't mellowed in my old age, you'd already be dead, Bendix. BC nearly snarls. You best talk fast.
Or what? She leans over the table. The Vatican ambassador to the moon is going to kill me in public?
And with what? You packing heat?
You might be surprised, he says coldly.
She leans back.
I don't think so, she tells him.
If we met in your office, I might be dead already, she admits.
Yep, that sounds right, BC says.
How can I kill her? What's available? Knives with the silverware? Plastic. Well, that'll still work.
I'm not your enemy, Father Campion, she says. You need to know that. You wouldn't want to kill a friend now, would you?
You, a friend? You tried to kill me, BC protests.
Ha! She laughs out loud. If I'd wanted to kill you, you'd be dead. What was it, 2 years ago? I actually saved your life, she says with a huff. I did want it to look like I'd tried to kill you. So I guess I understand your confusion.
I had to make it look good.
Otherwise, I would have blown my UIN cover.
What?
BC asks, but his mind is racing through ways he can kill her in front of these witnesses. But then it registers. UIN cover?
Yeah, she says. The UIN thought I was theirs, working as a mole in the LSC.
Double agent, BC humors her.
Not exactly. I guess I was a triple agent, she says, if you want to get technical. But not really, because I think my side and your side are actually the same side.
Right.
BC realizes his Guinness is gone. It went down quickly. He contemplates his empty pint glass and then looks back up at Nita Bendix, Dr. Capatuna.
Whatever.
Triple? BC says. I work for a separate concern, not the UIN, not by a long shot. We're independent. I was working undercover on both sides.
Great, an equal opportunity spy.
How incredibly fair of you, BC cracks. You're not UIN or UTZ? What are you?
Do you work for Lunar Prime?
BC asks.
Edwards never mentioned having any kind of intelligence force, but maybe he wouldn't have, to me.
No, she says. We work for ourselves. A separate concern, like I said. It was our people who saved you after I left you for dead. I had to make it look good for the UIN, but I knew my guys would be there to get you.
The LSC brought me back, BC protests.
The LSC picked you up after we saved you. We called them, she insists. Didn't you see our ship after the UIN ship took off? One of our ships was there.
What, the Flasher? You're trying to tell me the Flashers are your ships?
BC asks her in disbelief.
You're with the Flashers.
The Flashers? Yeah, I guess you could say I'm with them.
BC takes the offensive. So, what is your name? I mean, really?
Anita Capituna. Dr. Anita Capituna.
That's my real name. And I really am a scientist. I work for the project.
The project? Do I hear a capital P?
The project. She hesitates. The project. It's what we call ourselves. And we've decided it's time for you, Bernard Campion, to know about us. That's why I'm here today. That, and we do think we know who has infected us, the human race, with the sickness.
Right, BC says suspiciously. It's time for me to know.
Look, she says, I'm here to bring you in on what the project is up to. You can believe me about that or walk away. Up to you.
How do I know you're not crazy or setting me up to die again?
I didn't kill you, she says. I had you rescued. You saw the Flasher, as you call our ships. They called in the LSC.
BC is still not convinced. How can I be sure you're not still a UIN agent, just trying to take advantage of the current situation and trying to keep me from being a threat?
Like I said before, if I wanted you dead, you'd be dead. I'm not UIN, she insists.
I saw you at the conference here, BC insists. You were working with McIntyre. Last October, it was all over the news. You're a celebrity secret agent. Kind of an oxymoron, isn't it?
Did you like that? That performance was for you. Once I realized you'd spotted me, I was spying on McIntyre. Then I saw you and improvised. Hey, it helped you get rid of McIntyre, didn't it? And as far as we know, Amanda Erskine is clean. No alliances, no agenda except the moons. I did you a favor.
Wait, back up. Are you saying McIntyre didn't know you were here that last time?
Not at all, she says. I made it look like he did for your benefit. Well, for you and the cameras, anyway. It helped you take him down, didn't it? She pleads her case. And McIntyre must have been so confused. She chuckles. Probably figures he did something wrong and the UIN set him up to fall down. Smiles all around then, wouldn't you say?
You're hurting my head, BC says.
Still getting those headaches, she asks.
How do you...
I know stuff, she says, cutting him off. Why be so hostile?
I'm not hostile. I'm a priest, BC protests.
Oh, like those two have ever been mutually exclusive, she fires back.
Jesus Christ.
BC raises his voice to a loud, raspy whisper.
The whole you tried to kill me thing is still giving me trouble. Having a really hard time getting past that.
BC realizes he's being a little too loud. He looks around McGrady's, but no one else in the place is paying them attention.
Look, she says, I was doing you a favor. I was originally down there to see if you wanted to go for a walk to get you out of the Vatican mission. I knew the UIN were about to strike, and that they'd be gunning for the NCC area.
You were recording me, BC says, not asking to go for a walk.
You were on a covert communications unit with your stateroom door wide open. Couldn't really resist.
She trails off.
But hey, I drew you away, saved your life twice, and you didn't even know it.
She looks him in the eye.
I wasn't trying to kill you. I was only trying to make it look like I was trying to kill you. There is a difference. It'd be nice to get some gratitude for a change. I mean, now that you know.
BC shakes his head.
I don't know anything. You're raving about some project, trying to tell me your attempt on my life was actually you trying to save my life, BC says, lowering his voice.
Why?
Whatever could have possessed you to get in touch with me? He glares at her over the table.
What do you want?
BC says in a harsh half-whisper.
I want what you want, she says.
I have no fucking idea what I want, BC states. How can you want that?
Ha!
You can't know what you want, she surprises BC, because you don't know all of your options. I can increase that awareness. I can let you see what else is out there. Let me help you expand your options.
What options? BC asks, a skeptical edge to his voice.
First, the answer to the question of who spread this sickness that is killing the human race, Father Campion, she says solemnly. The UIN didn't do this. She looks down at the tabletop.
Oh, like I'm going to listen to you, a UIN agent, about the UIN's innocence, BC says with a chuckle of his own.
Come on! If this thing is a manufactured virus designed for biological warfare, who else but the UIN would be doing this?
Who else? She asks, hypothetically.
Others you don't know about, Father Campion. The ones I need to tell you about. There are other races out there, Campion, she says, looking up again, looking him in the eye.
The Project has met with them, and dealt with them for quite a while now. And we in the Project are pretty sure one of these other races planted the virus that is now killing our people.
BC's brain tries to sort out what she just said. Aliens are trying to wipe out the human race?
He shakes his head.
You expect me to believe this crap?
I know it sounds far-fetched, she says.
I know it sounds unbelievable.
I know you have absolutely no reason to trust me and every reason to mistrust and hate me. I know that,
Dr. Anita Capituna tells BC. But I won't ask you to take my word for it. I told you the Project has agreed to let you in. And so I'd like to show you that what I'm saying is all true and for real. Let me prove it to you by taking you on a tour through the Project's facilities. I can show you evidence there of our interstellar neighbors and fill you in on those who may be trying to do us in.
How can I be sure you're not just taking me off to kill me?
Jeez, if I wanted to kill you, Campion, you'd already...
Be dead, I know,
BC says, finishing her sentence, having heard it enough.
You should get that by now, she says, and laughs.
This will take some time, though, about a day, and the lab is totally cut off from other communication, so you'll need to let your staff know you'll be completely out of touch for about 24 hours.
I'm not sure I like that. Where are we going?
Nowhere far, she says. To the other side of the moon.
It would probably be best to go soon, then, BC says.
Can you get some time right now? She asks.
Right now? BC asks.
She nods.
Let me see.
This is happening a little too fast. Why the fuck should I remotely trust her? Can I get away right now? I don't think there's anything.
BC tries his personal link.
Hello?
Good. She's at her desk.
Hey, Lisa. It's Father BC.
Good evening, Father.
Do I have any appointments tomorrow?
Nothing. Although you did say you'd stop by the hospital to visit the sick people.
Damn, good old-fashioned Catholic guilt.
Thank you, Lisa, BC says. I'm going to be out of contact for about the next 24 hours. There's something, he looks over at Bendix, or Capituna, as he speaks, I need to look into.
Okay, Father.
BC hears the sigh in her voice, then the quick tone, indicating the link closed.
Judgmental woman? Thou shalt not judge? Ah, hell. Secretaries. Bendix. Capituna's smiling at me. I don't like that. That's not the smile of happiness. She looks like the snake about to swallow the little mouse whole. That's that kind of smile. Better watch my back.
Okay, BC says to the smiling predator in front of him. Let's go. Her eyes light up. Her eyebrows raise. All right, she says, and gets up to go. Hold on, BC stops her. I need to stop by my office first. She tries, unsuccessfully, to hide her frustration. Why? It's BC's turn to smile. My business, not yours. You can't come into my lab armed, she warns him. I need certain security, BC counters. You don't trust me, that's understandable, she admits. BC laughs. Thank you for being so understandable, he says sarcastically. Oh, my pleasure, she retorts, matching his sarcasm. BC gets up. Okay, so let's swing by my offices. She shakes her head. Tell you what, she says. You swing, I'll meet you back here. Back here? Back here. Sure. BC walks over to the bar and pays the bartender for his tab. Anita Capituna sits back down at the table, as if to wait for BC.
Yeah, I'll bet she just sits here waiting. Doesn't strike me as the type. Bendix, Capituna, or whoever you really are.
BC sets off on his way to his office.
What do I want? Not a gun, obviously. Be nice to have some nanos. None of those without the OPO. Maybe a toxin, poison of some kind. Do I have anything left? Damn, I'm out of practice.
Back in his room a few minutes later, BC settles on a wrist-worn poison dart launcher. The darts are sliver-thin and made of an instantly deadly neurotoxin that melts after penetrating the skin.
Undetectable by most contemporary security systems, and they conveniently melt away without a trace. I'll drop her in her tracks if I have to. Hate to be a prick.
BC laughs to himself at his clever wordplay. He heads back to McGrady's, feeling slightly more secure. Anita is in the bar, waiting. I wonder if she went anywhere. She stands up as he approaches the table. Ready? She asks him. Ready, BC replies. I guess. So, where are we going? How are we getting there? You'll see. We're not going far. I said it was here on the moon. Still suspicious, huh? She observes. Absolutely. I understand, she says. That's big of you, BC counters. She looks exasperated. Okay, please get over yourself so we can move on. I'm sorry you think I tried to kill you. I'll explain what's going on when we get going to the lab. I have a lot to tell you. There's more you need to know.
Bitch.
He doesn't respond. What? She asks, when he remains silent. Nothing. I'm working to repress all my mistrust and hatred and to keep my tensions bottled up inside while I follow you, BC tells her. She wrinkles her brow but then nods. Okay, fine, I guess, for now. I'll take what I can get from you at this point. She sighs. Follow me. She brushes past him and on out of the bar. She doesn't look back. He follows her out. They cross the atrium and head for the spaceport.
Funny, this is right near where she tried to lose me that time. Or didn't try to lose me, according to her current version of events.
Deja vu, huh? BC comments as they head down a familiar-looking tunnel. Yeah, we're actually going to be near the same place I left you for, dead, but not really. Huh, not really the place or not really dead? BC prods her. Didn't really leave you for dead, she says, not looking back at him. In fact, your deja vu should continue. One of the ships you call Flashers is coming to get us. Might be the same ship that called for your rescue back then, when I told them to call. Yeah? Oh, I hear what you're selling. I just haven't committed to buying it yet, BC responds.
They end up in the same outbuilding where she tried, or didn't try, to kill him 2 years ago.
Well, this just creeps me right the fuck out. Talk about facing things head on.
Come on, she says. BC doesn't realize he's stopped in the doorway to the building. Sorry, old wounds ripping open and all, he says, as he walks into the outbuilding. Sorry. This is one of our regular rendezvous spots. Grab an EVA suit. We're going outside. What, did you sabotage them ahead of time? BC cracks. Ha ha, no, she says with no humor in her voice. Get dressed. We're supposed to meet them in 5 minutes. She answers BC's inquiring look. I called when you were back at your office, she says. BC gets dressed. He pulls on the bulky pants and oversuit and snaps them together, puts a helmet on and clicks it into place.
Just to be careful, I'll put my gloves on last. Keep the darts available until she opens the airlock.
BC hears his breathing echoing in his helmet. The helmet's nearly clear all around. He can see pretty well. Anita Capituna is over at the airlock. She stops just before she starts to cycle the airlock. Let's go, Campion, she says in his ear, over the comm. They're waiting for us. BC pulls on his gloves. Go ahead. She opens the airlock and walks in. BC follows her in and closes the door behind him. She cycles the airlock. BC can feel his suit puff up a little as the air escapes from the airlock and the pressure drops. Capituna opens the outer door and bounds through out onto the lunar surface. BC follows her out, feeling the artificial gravity let go as he crosses the airlock door's threshold.
Low gravity always makes me feel like trying to fly.
Campion, Capituna says over the comm, close the door, huh?
Oh, yeah.
BC bounces back and hits the button for the door. He turns and sees Capituna waiting for him, about 100 yards away. Here they come, she says in his ear.
Wait, did I blink?
Because suddenly, there was a ship behind her.
Holy shit, I think we've got ourselves an actual flasher here.
He bounds over towards her, and they approach the ship together. A door opens on the side of the flasher. She heads over to it. Come on, she yells on the suit comm, and so in his ear, louder than she has to.
It's a comm, woman.
BC tries to take it all in as he scrambles to get to the door.
The ship is identical to the one I saw in this same place 2 years ago.
BC climbs up into the flasher. The door closes behind him. BC climbs out of the airlock and looks around the flasher's interior. It's relatively dark inside the ship. Everything's a utilitarian gunmetal gray. The walls, the ceiling, and the floor. There are no portholes. No windows that BC can see. Lighting is provided by small round lamps overhead. They disappear off into dimness in each direction, making a dimly lit line of dots down the corridor ceiling's center.
My eyes need to adjust. It's so bright outside. You don't realize how bright until you come back inside. Huh, gravity again, too.
BC steadies himself against the wall as the ship lurches a little. His boots stop him from sliding on the 2 non-slip strips that run parallel down the center of the corridor floor. We're off, Capituna says. Then she clicks off her helmet and secures it with a Velcro loop to the wall of a small cubby next to them. BC takes off his helmet and does the same.
It smells new, like the Vatican mission smelled for a while after we rebuilt it. Everything looks new. Maybe they keep things very clean. My eyes are adjusting. It really is dim in here. I'm not the only thing here that's not very bright, bada-bing. Wonder what's up with the mood lighting. I'll feel better as soon as I... Now.
BC gets his glove off. His dart hand is free. His other glove is off soon after. He swivels his head around on his neck, trying to work out a slight crick he got when the ship lurched earlier, and to see if there's anyone else lurking in the shadows. Anita Capituna takes off the rest of her EVA suit
and then attaches the suit to the wall next to her helmet with some more handy Velcro loops. BC undoes his EVA suit too, and, following her example, uses the loops on the other wall to fasten down his suit below his helmet. "This won't take long at all," she says. "It's a very short trip to the lab. We're almost there." BC looks over at his EVA suit. "Won't need a suit to go from the ship into the lab," Capituna says, answering his unspoken question. BC and Anita Capituna stand side by side in silence. "Are we going to go sit down or something?" BC asks, feeling awkward. She laughs. "Oh, no. It takes about 2 minutes. We'll be docking at the lab in a minute," she assures him. "Nice ship," BC says.
"Making small talk?"
"Thank you. So, who are you guys again?" "We're the Project. We began as Von Kilner's Transspace Project back in 2066, she says, nearly reciting, and then breaks in on herself. "I haven't been with it myself for that long, obviously," she clarifies. "The Transspace Project?" BC asks. "Von Kilner? They developed the first transspace ships. Every school kid learns about that in history class. But that project ended years ago. I mean, the first transspace ships came out, what, back in the 80s? Are you telling me that project is still ongoing? That it's your project?" "The government..." She begins to answer him, but she stops. She puts her hand on the wall of the corridor. The airlock door opens again. A small corridor, brightly lit, is visible beyond the threshold. "Go ahead, we're here. I'll catch up in a second."
"Yeah, right."
"No, I don't think so," BC says, staring at her. "What?" she asks. "I'm supposed to just walk into whatever this is by myself? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I think you're going to lead the way for me. Kind of like a human shield, how about?" She nods. "Fine, fine," she says. "But you know, you've really got to work on these trust issues." "Right," BC says. He stands there, waiting. She waits for a minute as well.
"What? You want to play stare down, honey? I don't think so."
"Oh, all right," she huffs, then heads into the bright corridor. BC lets her get a couple of paces ahead and then follows her. "Oh, good, you're coming," she calls back at him. "Yep," BC calls. "Gee, too bad you aren't fatter," he says as he gets close to her. She stops short, and he almost walks into her. "What?" she demands, taken off guard. BC laughs. "You'd make a better human shield if you were, you know, fatter. More for me to hide behind." She rolls her eyes. "You sure do know how to make a gal feel sexy," she jokes. "Besides, there's nothing to hide from." "Uh-huh," BC agrees, without conviction. She sighs. "Let's go. This corridor opens onto the lab." She walks up to the door at the end of the bright corridor, presses her hand against the wall to the side. She turns back to talk to BC as the door slides open. "You see? No one's here. There's no one to shoot you, take you hostage, whatever you were anticipating in your fevered little brain." Her eyes roll back in her head, and she collapses into a heap on the floor in front of BC. BC sees a trank dart sticking in her shoulder. He looks up from her body in time to see someone on the other side of the doorway with a gun. A dart hits him in the shoulder. BC blacks out.
That was Chapter 12 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio. Nita fucking Bendix. Yeah, you didn't see that coming. Nita Capituna, Nita Bendix, and the Project. What's she talking about? Is this real? Could it be real? Well, she's riding a flasher, and that's kind of real, so he's like, what the hell? And, well, then, you know, finally, at the end there, the tranquilizer darts. Not exactly a good look. doesn't give you a whole lot of confidence. It's not what you'd call a positive sign, but there you go. And we'll find out what's going on as we get into the beginning of Chapter 13 on our next episode. That, however, is one of those crazy long 2-hour chapters. So I wasn't. Yeah. Okay. I don't even defend what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing when I wrote this book as far as like dividing the chapters up. So yeah, it's a 2-hour chapter. So we're going to divide it up on the podcast. But yeah, we'll get into Chapter 13 next as we pick up the pieces as we wake BC up after he's just been knocked unconscious by a trank dart. We'll see what happens in Chapter 13, Part 1, on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Remember, you can get a free digital PDF copy of the Vatican Assassin graphic novel, Vatican Assassin, the graphic novel, $5.99 value. There's a limited number for a limited time at drivethroughcomics.com. Just follow the link that you'll find in the show notes. The link is your route to the discount to get a free copy. AlibiJones.com and VaticanAssassin.com are fixed in case you went there and they didn't work for you at the time. And if you're still getting a blank screen, please refresh. And again, a big thank you to my patrons who help keep this whole thing going, the fuel that drives us. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.